As the companions disappeared over the southern horizon, the salt and sandy ground of the big dune broke apart, and strange figures rose from its depths, shaking off the loose debris. Standing taller than any norm, the beings were bipedal, but impossibly skinny, with every inch of their bodies wrapped in dirty rags that completely hid any possible view of their anatomy. More of the creatures arrived from below ground, as their leader, who carried a long spear, bowed once to the sun, then gestured violently at the dead horse. Now the others pulled curved daggers from within their rags and began to dissect the corpse, the tainted blood flowing in rivulets down the slopes of the dune. Fleeting visions of a bad Mattrans jump boiled in Ryan's dreams, constantly punctuated by a distant blaster fire, or great pre-dark war machines charging after the men with their cannons clicking on shells no longer there, or sec-hunter droids snapping deadly scissors, or... With a start, Ryan awoke to find both hands tied to the pommel of the saddle. For a split second, he thought that they had been captured, and his blood surged with adrenaline, his wrists breaking apart the twine as he clawed for the blaster on his hip. But surprisingly, it was there. And as the mists of sleep faded away, Ryan saw the other companions leading their horses along the brightly lit desert. Fireblast, it was just a bad dream. Christy glanced sideways toward him and smiled.
Good afternoon, lover. Nice to have you back.
Afternoon? Had he really slept that long? The dull ache in his back from sleeping in the saddle seemed to confirm that, and the sun was high overhead, the air stifling with heat. Licking his dry lips, Ryan started to reply when a faint clicking sound reached his ears. When he realized that his usually silent rad counter was the source, he flipped his lapel and took a look, recoiling in shock when the counter revealed they were in a lethal zone. They were walking directly into a nuke crater.
Everybody freeze! We're hot!
What?
JB abruptly turned. Placing a thumb behind his lapel, he flipped the cloth to look at his own rad counter.
Mine says, Dark Knight. I put it in my backpack at the Ville for safekeeping.
JB hurriedly snatched the pack from the saddle pommel, rummaged inside for a moment, and removed a small lacquered box. Inside lay the precious rad counter.
Hard at the edge of the danger zone.
Suddenly, the companions went pale, each person straining to sense the invisible death pouring from the featureless ground around them. Christy began climbing onto her horse.
Which way?
Taking the rad counter in hand, Ryan turned about in every direction until pointing due west. Then he kicked his horse into a trot.
That way!
Scrambling onto their mounts, the rest of the companions moved with a purpose and galloped after the man as if their lives depended on it. Nothing was said for almost an hour as they raced for safety away from the lethal rads, the featureless landscape flying beneath the pounding hooves of the animals. No predator was visible to the horses, but they seemed to be able to sense the terror of their riders and were putting their hearts into a desperate race for life. Reaching an embankment, the companions slowed their mounts to hurriedly walk down to the lower desert floor. Now, patches of rock could be seen amid the salty sand of the desert, and Ryan called a halt to check his rad counter.
This is far enough. We're clear.
Out, rads?
Yeah.
Jack slipped to the ground from behind Dean. During the long morning walk, Mildred had taken the opportunity to clean and bandage his bad arm. It was sore, but he could use it again to fire a blaster if necessary.
Seems so. I'm reading only normal background count.
Ryan aimed the rad counter around just to double check. Once he was satisfied, he attached it to his collar again. Gazing back the way from which they had just come, JB removed his hat to fan himself.
Damn good thing you woke up when you did. I was strolling a smack into a rad pit hot enough to chill us all.
Radiation. Hot pipe, I'd rather fight stickies.
Stickies were one of the curses of the Deathlands. The size of a norm, stickies had sucker pads on their fingers and feet and could walk walls and ceilings like insects. They attached their suckers to a person's flesh and ripped off pieces until the screaming victim was only a mass of still-beating organs. Ryan had once seen a Sekhman attacked by a swarm of stickies, take a blaster and put a round into his own heart, rather than be savagely torn apart by the muties. Jack hitched up his belt.
Gotta go. Get bag.
Christie passed it to him, and the teenager went behind a dune to answer the call of nature. A few minutes later, he returned and passed her back the sloshing container. Dean offered his canteen.
Here.
Jack nodded in thanks and took only a sip, then passed the canteen back and placed a smooth pebble in his mouth. It helped a person to lose less moisture by keeping his or her mouth shut, and the saliva generated eased the pangs of thirst. Doc shifted in his saddle.
Which way now, my dear Ryan?
His long hair ruffling in the dry wind, Ryan checked the rad counter again, carefully.
West and southwest are clear. I'd say south by west, as that heads us closer to the Grandee.
River means fishing and means vills.
JB pulled out his mini-sextant from under his shirt to shoot the sun and check their position, then tucked the priceless tool away once he was finished.
Okay, we're about 400 miles from the redoubt on the Grandee. Might as well make that our goal, and we can expand our search for the traitor from there.
Hell, he might be there.